stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static, and we have less cheery news to report than we did with Jarkissi, which is our own case of Murthy v. Missouri. And the court has come back with a 6-3 decision, also 6-3 decision, saying that none of the plaintiffs have standing to get a preliminary injunction against the activities of the government to throw them off social media. And Janine, what do you think?
Well, where to start? I'll say some of the positive things first. So it was about a preliminary injunction, which is a different standard. And there was a bit in the decision about how a preliminary injunction is based on the likelihood of future harm, and the court didn't see that here, based on the facts we presented. Of course, they also looked at past harm to reach the, to be sort of insofar as it informed whether there would be future harm, and found that they didn't believe the past, they didn't find traceability and redressability. Basically, to put it in layman's terms, they did not find that our plaintiffs could show that their censorship occurred because of the government's actions. The platforms had content moderation policies prior to the Biden administration assuming office, and even prior to theirs, to the emails that we have or documents that we have showing that they were telling the companies what to do. And so for all we know, our clients might have been censored anyway. That is not the way the law should work.
No, it isn't. But I want to say the other good news, is that the three dissenters, Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch, reached the merits because they thought that that standing had been shown, certainly under New York Free Commerce, which I'll talk about a little bit.
The majority explicitly said they were not reaching there. In footnote three this time, not footnote four.
Yeah, so they reached the merit. So three justices say what the government did here is completely unconstitutional and has to be stopped, right? And I would say if I was going to sit back dispassionately, standing has always been a judicial tool to make sure that Article III judges are not just taking problems out of the air. And it has always been most rigorously enforced normally by what we normally call conservative judges. So we see this a lot where you want to file somewhere, but the standing decisions of all the conservative circuits are much worse than the places. If they're loosey-goosey on the law on something else, they'll be loosey-goosey on standing. So this is particularly bittersweet on this because I certainly think Jill Hynes had traceability. I certainly think
They did say she came the closest.
Right. So the good news is those three justices said, we reached the merits and the merits are correct and they're likely to lose. The other five didn't say anything on the actual. So we already got three votes on the merits is the way I put it. And the other side has none on the merits.
That just puts you back into student loan, student loan sort of situation. The government is violating the Constitution and you can't do a damn thing about it because you can't find anybody with standing.
It is correct.
Well, it is important to remember too, this was the preliminary injunction. Our underlying case is still going forward in the district court, and it's been consolidated with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s, and he does have what I think the court was sort of alluding to, which is basically emails with his name by the government saying, take this guy off the platforms.
And them saying, well, he hasn't violated our standard, get him off, and now off he goes. Maybe, but I think that to talk about, so we'll go back. This is important because I've seen press reports that the case is over. That is not true.
No. The Wall Street Journal lead editorial today used the word dismissed or something like that, which was not correct.
Reversed and remanded.
Why can't they get people with some basic legal expertise to write?
Or you can read reversed and remanded. So in any event, so we're going to go back and go find the stuff because we didn't have as much time or information. They fought like tooth and nail on everything. And I'll tell you this, now that the Supreme Court, there's a downside for the other side too. And that is since the Supreme Court has said you need all this stuff, on discovery, whenever they resist anything, we can say, hey, look, this is what we need and we're going to go get it. And they don't like that. And so,
in fact, someone I was talking to today said, well, you can just keep serving them with discovery. So they'll wish that they had lost.
But the fact of the matter is that this is very bad because what it shows is, and I've been saying this, you know, Vulo came out 9-0. And in Vulo, you had a cinematic villain, right? Like a Cruella de Vil in Vulo who was heading the bank regulation and she didn't like them.
Wasn't Rob Flaherty the functional equivalent of her?
But he didn't have direct control the way she had direct control, and he didn't say the name. It's like you need a magic formula. You need to have direct control. Then you have to say, I don't like the NRA and I don't like, you know, how they're acting and I regulate you and you know, I want it down. And it was a single person, right? They could see who it was. Here, the government decided to do this on every level. Everybody's doing it. So what you can draw from Barrett's opinion is that we're not quite sure who did it in the government even, right? So what was the final straw of harassment that made it do? What was the final harassment that did it? So – and then she says, and they had content moderation. Well, if they had content moderation, that's a defense. That shouldn't be our burden. That should be their burden that it wasn't us. The First Amendment says don't abridge it. They were trying to abridge it. This is one of the few cases I've ever seen where the Supreme Court did not hold one of the parties to the natural consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
They were doing this precisely to get the result they got. And it's like, imagine.
And we know they did.
I know.
Because we have, I mean, there are many, many emails where Facebook is saying, okay, I guess we'll change our policies. We'll ramp them up. Then there are the emails that the congressional.
But they didn't add, and we'll take down Jill Hines, and we'll take down Bhattacharya.
Right,
and we didn't take, and that, so since they didn't
so
name
as,
who.
So as long as they don't say specific names, they can censor as much as they want.
Without an injunction, without an injunction. So that's all very bad. But I am saying that the things that are, that now you have to go get these things. And I do think, I've told Mark this many times, that when New York v. Commerce came out, I thought it was Trump law. In other words, I felt that it would not – they looked behind – this was the case where they wanted to put the question, are you an American citizen, on the census. And that had been on the census a long – you know,
many times. Yeah.
But because of certain things that the president had said and the Commerce Secretary had said, they thought they were putting in for a bad reason, and that it was so that people wouldn't respond to the census, so that New York would get fewer seats. You know, there's this whole allegation that these – so – usually they don't look behind. The courts usually don't look behind to the motives of a law or a policy like that. They look at the policy itself. Here they look behind it, and they gave New York standing. And Alito points this out quite a bit. And I up until yesterday, I have been wrong about New York v. Commerce because it has been followed by the courts in a lot, and it's been cited by the Supreme Court a lot. And then suddenly when on the standing issue, it's being differentiated in ways that I think are unhelpful to people's First Amendment rights.
Yeah, call it Murphy's Law. So, John, you had made a good point last night in the sort of X space talk that we had about the redressability point and the sleight of hand that took place there. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so the redressability means, does the court have the power to fix your problem that you're complaining about? And Barrett says, because once again, it's a big mystery why this happened. We don't know whether it's the social media companies or it's the government, because obviously, you know, Mark Zuckerberg could want Jill Hines' private little group of ladies in Louisianans talking about vaccines that no one else can see except them taken down. No, he didn't want to take it down. The government did. But so we don't know. So we can't. What can we do? Because they could still be censored by the social media even if we order the government to do anything. Well, all we want is the government to stop harassing them. They can redress that. Government, stop harassing my social media so that they take down my messages. That is fixable by this court and who's before it. And the sleight of hand that there might be this third party that could do something bad to you, who's a private party, who isn't violating the First Amendment if they did it. So
yeah, there's no offense. There's no First Amendment offense if it's them.
Correct. So we the redressability argument is just ridiculous because we aren't the harm is them harassing social media. The harm is not just us. You know, if the government had never done anything, first of all, I think all these people would still be on social media. Yeah. You know, but the fact of the matter,
companies don't usually make money by deleting their consumers.
Right. They want eyeballs. It's how the whole thing works. Nobody mentioned, and we had room problems as far as how much you can say. But the fact is, there's an economic incentive for these companies to have these messages out there. There's only a political incentive for the government to make them take them down. So I think there's a real unreality in the whole opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's we saw this with Changizi, where they're basically – the court dismissed our case, and they put the plaintiffs in a catch-22 where they're saying, well, we're not going to let you get the information you need in order to prove that the government was involved in your censorship.
And not only are we not going to do that, but we're also going to let the government speak privately to all these groups to censor you, and you won't have any ability to get the names or anything.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the court and the district court in this case will allow the case to continue and not read this as saying that we don't have standing for merits.
He's not the Wall Street Journal, so I think we'll be fine.
Well, you have an Iqbal Twombly problem, right? If you don't have some basis for the allegations that you're making in your complaint, and yet if you're – you know, it almost sounds like the court was saying, well, you got some discovery here and you weren't able to connect all of these exact dots that we want you to connect. Therefore, you don't have standing.
Yeah. And for the injunction.
For the injunction.
And she was very specific on that. Every time she said no standing, she was jamming it together for that reason, I think. She didn't want the media to read it and think it meant no standing at all.
Oops.
Yeah, exactly. So in any event, I do think that we got some work to do.